You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hey babe,
it's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control. What is happening?
Hello angels, happy Wednesday. I know, okay, I was missing last week for some odd reason. I just had a slip up, I guess, because I've been so occupied with life more than being present on social media. I know that you guys have noticed that. And although my podcast is my favorite thing that I like to do, for some reason, I completely missed last Wednesday. So I sincerely apologize. In other news, guys, I had an amazing date, honestly, with this guy that, I don't know, we'll see how things go. But he was so respectful of me. And it sucks. You guys know I always say, you know, you don't want to give credit to fish for swimming. But at the same time, I think if you lean too far to one side, meaning some people can take things in the way where they don't want to give compliments to anyone for anything. And I never want to be that person. You know, I'm a Taurus, so I'm all about balance. And there were certain things that I noticed that were really, really amazing. I can honestly say this is the first time, especially being my age now, that I didn't see any crazy red flags at all on a first date with someone. It's crazy to me that this is the first time that I've ever experienced something like that. And he sent me a car to come pick me up. He planned the dinner date. It was 1, 2, 3. Okay, let me tell you something about, you guys know how I feel about online dating, and I'm very open and transparent with the fact that I talk a lot of junk about it, even though for some reason I have gotten what my friends consider to be very lucky in the process, because I have met people, I was almost going to say incredible people, but I have met people that were successful and things like that online. But I still just don't like it overall, because I understand on the internet, you can be whoever you want to be. And for the vast majority, their experiences do tend to be a bit negative. So it's kind of just like, no, I really still don't enjoy it at all, even though I have had great experiences here and there. So it's just hit or miss. There's no secret way or secret anything to, you know, really find someone really on there. And if there's one thing I can say, is that life really does surprise you when you are genuinely not looking for anything. So I was pleasantly surprised by, you know, going on a date with this guy. And there's one thing that I want to note to you guys when you're doing this whole online dating thing, right? Is that studies have shown that if you are constantly talking to somebody for more than, I don't even know the exact day, but I'm going to tell you this, for 2 to 3 days, enough. You know why? Because by the time you meet that person in person, you have already crafted up the type of person that you think that they are. And a lot of the time, they can never live up to that expectation of who you thought that they were in your head. So that's the dangerous part. I also agree with that sentiment, or that study, I should say, because why are we having full-blown conversations past 2 and 3 days when you can just ask me those questions in person? And for the guys out there, this is actually for the girls. Ladies, you have to understand, everything you do in the beginning sets the standard. If a guy messages you on there and says, hey, do you want to go for a drink or go get some coffee really quickly? Say how you actually feel. Hey, listen, if you're okay with going and getting coffee and having a drink, sure, girl. I mean, I don't really know. I'm assuming if you're subscribed to me, that's not going to be something that you want. You don't want some fly by the night. I'm going to do my makeup. Cause let's be real here. You're not going to go with no makeup on. You're going to look presentable, you know, something cute. And you're doing all of that to meet some guy at Starbucks for $5 for a coffee. What exactly is going on over here? No, you don't want that to happen. So be honest with what you want. You know what? Actually, dinner definitely works for me better. How about this place? And make a suggestion for a place. Don't let these guys, or don't let, you know, desperation or eagerness, I should say, force you into, you know, the mindset of, oh my God, if I don't just agree to seeing this guy, then I'm going to miss the boat. You'll never miss anything that's meant to be for you. And at the end of the day, you need to be honest with what it is that you want. And I'm guaranteeing that it's not just a cup of coffee, because that's not a date, okay? That's for colleagues. So anyways, back to what I was saying in regards to my story. I had an amazing night. I can honestly say, aside from there being zero red flags, notably for me so far, I'd also like to add that this is the first time I feel like I've had a genuine fun, like F-U-N, fun time going on a date. It was just everything about it, start to finish, was amazing. My drive into the city was amazing. And I saw you guys love when I live life and I show you guys how I'm living, because I noticed my story views were just going up the wazoo on that day, which was, I believe that was actually Saturday that this happened, because you guys saw I was in the car and it's like, ooh, I got so many DMs asking me where I was going, who I was with, all this stuff. And I actually was like, ooh, like, okay, now I know more of what you guys want to see. I don't know why I didn't assume you guys didn't want to see it. I just didn't think it was a big deal for me to show. But now that I'm seeing that there was a lot of interest in what it is that I was doing, then I'll just show you guys more of my dating life and what that looks like. So you can DM me and let me know your thoughts on that. But I had so much fun. He was really thorough. And let me tell you guys this, car services are elite, okay? This is the first time I did a car service where, not my first time doing a car service in general, but I really loved the driver. I almost felt like he was my guardian also for the night. He was so attentive. He was like, listen, you can turn on your location for me for the night so that I always know where you are. And the best part about having drivers, this is not like Uber XL angels. This is very different. They wait on you hand and foot. Everywhere you go, they are always out front. I'm not talking about you go to eat and they decide to go run errands or explore wherever you are until you ask them to come back. No. They literally wait outside of the front of whatever establishment you are at and take you to the next destination and the next destination, and also drive you back home. Way different than an Uber service. And I personally don't like Uber. I don't even have the app Uber. So that's just my own thing. So I love car services. They are so elite. And if you are driving to a place that's considered to be your city, my city is Manhattan, and you don't want to drive there and a guy is asking you on a date, he needs to either do one or two options. He needs to get you a car service, maybe an Uber, three options, or he needs to pay for your parking wherever you're heading. Because why are you stressing? Especially that day that I went out, it was a Saturday. It was raining out the wazoo. I was so happy that I didn't have this anxiety of getting ready and then having to be, I got to be present and relax, have a nice talk with my driver. Everything was just amazing start to finish. And I really, really enjoyed myself. So yes, that just pretty much sums up the update with me. Oh, also lastly, I have the story time that I have been teasing at in last my last podcast episode where I got the blessing and permission of my subscriber, okay? She told me that I can tell the story and speak on behalf of her and myself, and I was so excited. I'm so happy because I respect everyone's privacy and things like that, so I just wanted to make sure that she was comfortable with me telling her story and things like that, and she told me that I have her blessing, and so I have a juicy story time with you guys, and if you are listening to this right now, lucky you, because you get to know the title of this story before people on my channel do. So the name of this story time is going to be called The Time That I Dated the Same Guy as My Subscriber. And I'm going to even let you guys in on an extra secret. Her and I dated two of the same people, but the main more important guy, her and I were dating at the same time. Now, if you have been following me from the beginning of my channel, you would kind of have a clue of who it is that I'm talking about. You wouldn't really know his name, but you do know his profession. I'm telling you. And if you are listening to this right now, DM me and I will know that you are even listening this far and that you have an idea of what's to come. This story time is going to blow your mind. I am not even exaggerating. So be on the lookout for that, angels. Make sure that you're keeping up to date with me on my Instagram, because I am pretty active at the very least on my Instagram. Maybe there's a day or two where I don't post anything, but for the most part, I post all the time. I always repost things. If I see someone reposting something of mine, I always repost it. So please, if you like something I said in my video or you're listening to my podcast, tag me, let me know. I always answer my DMs. I'm very active in answering you guys' comments and things like that. So don't be shy. So now after all of that is said and done, okay, we are going to be talking about codependency in relationships. I feel an extreme urge and nudge to talk about this and what that looks like and what it means in relationships. So I did a little Google search. It was super easy. Okay. And I can go on and on about this topic, but I feel like it's so important because, well, you're going to see. So codependency in relationships look like an obsessive focus on your partner's behavior. So what is this going to look like? This is going to look like, you know, your partner's doing something and you're stalking them, you're checking on everything they're doing. And honestly, codependency and jealousy, in my personal opinion, go hand in hand. Because if your self-esteem is rooted in, of course, everything externally, because if you're codependent, more than likely you are an insecure person. Nothing about being codependent says I'm a very secure person. I'm sorry, it's not. This is not me coming for anybody. This is just actual fact, okay? This is psychology. So if you're obsessed with how someone, you know, is behaving, whether it's honestly even friends as well, codependency is not something that only exists in romantic dynamics. This is something that exists in family dynamics, romantic dynamics, and also your platonic dynamics as well. So if you're constantly going to be obsessive over how people are behaving, your self-esteem to some degree is rooted in the things that they're doing and how that's making you feel, which means more than likely you're going to be a very reactive type of person. And when you are a reactive type of person, that means you are never in control. And of course, people that are codependent are never in control. They never are, because it's always dependent on other people's behavior, other people's actions, other people's reactions. That's what it's all contingent on. And when you are obsessive over people's behavior, what comes next? Well, you try to control, you try to change, or you try to fix someone. And when you're trying to control anything, it means you don't have control. Also, it shows a lack of the understanding that you cannot change or control anyone but yourself. Okay? No matter how many times you think, oh, if I constantly call my boyfriend, or if I constantly bombard one of my friends and try to hang out with them all the time, that's going to keep them busy and all they're going to do is think about me. Stop. okay? You can't try and control people. We all know manipulative people in life where they curate and manufacture situations so that they feel needed, so that they feel wanted, so that they are desired, because it is rooted in insecurity and codependency. Or they try to fix someone to you know, go along with whatever narrative suits them best. Okay? If you even find yourself in a relationship where, you know, maybe the person you're with is not trustworthy, but because you're so codependent, you're going to fight till the death, right? In certain situations, because some it doesn't feel right to be, you know, cheated on or not be able to trust someone. But I'm gearing specifically towards the subject of codependency. So that may, you know, look similar to a lot of different other types of behaviors. But for, you know, for this argument, I'm just saying that having that codependency can really, you know, it makes you spiral. You do things that you wouldn't normally do. More than likely, also, you can be a very vindictive and vengeful person. Because, again, if you're trying to control something and make it fit your narrative, then yeah, you're going to do anything it takes to get your desired outcome. There's no such thing as just moving on with your life. No, you're going to fight till the death until you feel like you've won something, right? All right. And what does this lead to next? Well, you're going to enable harmful behavior. And also, you have a lack of boundaries. Let's not also forget, I'd like to say, you may also have a lack of morality. Why? Because when you are a very vindictive person, because hurt people, some people are just so hell-bent on being vindictive and vengeful that they don't realize that they're only showing their own character. And guess what? This is what leads to a difference in morality. Some people don't care if they have to compromise their morals or integrity to get someone back, because all they want is to win. They don't realize that in essence, you're losing yourself. Whenever you seek revenge, be prepared to dig two graves. That is how it always goes. There is never a such thing as winning something against someone and not taking a huge sacrifice, whether it's morality, a moral sacrifice, whether it's, you know, a sacrifice of a loss of someone or something, you know, or even your own mental health, maybe your own physical, you know, health as well. You never know. It's never smooth sailing with people that are just out to get people and make people feel the way that they feel. Let me tell you something. Anytime something is done to you, you can't force somebody to care about the things that you do, which is why, in my personal opinion, revenge is not the successful route to go. Because if somebody has done something to you, okay, on one hand, they may not even understand or know the gravity of how they made you feel. No matter how much you may assume that they do, some people really don't know the things that they do. They don't really understand the gravity of their actions. And that's not to excuse it, but sometimes that's certain people's reality. Then on the other hand, you have people that maybe they did intentionally do something towards you, but I can promise you that they don't care. So you forcing them to care is not going to make them care at all. Because remember this, anytime you try to change someone, imagine how hard it is to change yourself. Imagine how hard it is to change, you know, your favorite color, to change, you know, your favorite, you know, maybe food even sometimes. Something as minuscule as those things, it is so difficult to change. So when we realize in the grand scheme of things, trying to be the catalyst or ignite some sort of, or force, I should say, some sort of change in other human beings, we really need to realize what it is that we are working with here, because it's never that simple. It's never that easy to try and change anyone. People have to change for themselves, okay? So if you're enabling or participating in harmful behavior, this means okay? You're easily going to spiral. You're going to be participating in things that, you know, are of laurel morality, okay? You're going to be doing things like that. And as and you're also going to be very insecure. You're going to be texting, hey, what are you up to? What are you doing? And it's very obvious. To people that are self-actualized, it's very obvious when people have control issues and they are spiraling. These people are going to also overshare a lot of the times. They're going to do certain things or manufacture situations to try and get you to need them as much as they actually need you. Make sense? All right. Having a lack of boundaries goes both ways. So having a lack of boundaries means, like I said before, having that moral, you know, that morality issue where you're willing to do anything to keep somebody around. You never know sometimes until desperate times may call for desperate measures, one may feel, right? Having a lack of boundaries also could mean, yeah, you let anyone do anything to you because you're willing to hold, you want to hold on to them so tightly that you're just like, I honestly really don't care. Whatever this takes, I'm going to keep this person around. Whatever it takes, I want to be around this person. People that are codependent are extremely manipulative. I really want to drive that point home. You would be shocked and appalled at the situations that they manufacture just to make it seem like people need them. The biggest thing about people that are codependent is they need to feel needed. Why? Because they need other people. I'm telling you, again, to people that are not this way, it's really more obvious than one may think, okay? Next, separation. Now, this is the thing. When people try to separate from you, because more than likely codependent people also are going to be very suffocating and stifling. Because why? They're clingy. They want to consume all of your time. They want to live, breathe, and eat you. Like, they just want to be in your skin. Okay? Unhealthy. Because they don't have a lack of boundaries. So they don't have any themselves. All right? Lack of boundaries with themselves. Lack of boundaries with other people, which is why there's no line of demarcation between the two. They don't know what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate as it pertains to their relationships. And because if in a case they tend to be clingy and stifling and all these different things, it's going to give them even more anxiety. And then that lack of control is going to happen again. That obsession is going to start, you know, coming again, starting again. And it all just cycles over and over and over again. That is how it is. It funnels back into itself, okay? That's what ends up happening. Then it ignites that fear of abandonment. But sweetie, we don't realize these type of issues, these attachment styles have to be figured out and they have to be addressed. Because if you have that fear of abandonment, which people with codependency issues do have, right? Then like I said, it all funnels back into each other again. You start to obsess because you need to control. You need to see the outcome. You need to be able to figure out, oh my gosh, what did this mean? What did that mean? How can I get this person to, you know that I care about them and I want to be with them so bad? How can I, you know, get, you know, this group of friends to not hang out with, you know, without me? How can I get, you know, my family member to need me? All these different things people that are codependent start to do because they simply are not secure with themselves. Every little thing is a threat to something that they feel like they've already established. And that's a problem, right? Because a lot of the times people that have codependency issues, what they don't realize is that they actually push people away with the very thing, the very antics. I'm struggling to speak today with the antics that they use to try and actually keep people in their corner. Let me tell you a little something, okay? Everything that is in the dark is going to come to the light. Everything, okay? There is no such thing as hiding who you are, but for so long. The real you is going to show up. The real you is going to be revealed in some way or another. You're not low. You're not getting by with being the way that you're being if you are participating in negative behaviors. Now, whether you're aware of that or not, hey, is on you. But truthfully, if we are honest with ourselves, which is the first step, we have to be able to identify if this looks like something that we participate in, okay? Now, what happens after that? Well, betraying yourself and your own needs in order to be chosen. Once you feel like you lost grip of, you know, what it is that you're trying to control, then you start spiraling. I got to do what it takes to get this person back. I got to do what it takes to show that I'm really needed, that I'm an asset. And when you are in a desperate position, it doesn't even matter as it pertains to anything. When you're desperate, you're not going to make a sound decision. When you're desperate, look at the Bible, right? If we even take this back to the Bible days where with Jacob and Esau, oh gosh, shame on me. I've been in church all my life and I'm drawing blank right now. Please don't kill me if this is wrong. I don't remember which brother specifically was so starving for food. I believe it was Jacob, that he decided to sell his birthright to his brother because he was so desperate for food. Now, I'm only giving that example principally to say and serve as contextual evidence that when you are in a desperate position, you're not going to make sound decisions. You never are. Okay? So what are some things that we should know about codependency, right? Now, this is from a website that I saw called Live Well with Sharon Martin. And she gives 10 great points that I want to also reiterate and go over with you guys. Codependency is a response to trauma. What happened to you? And I'm being serious and I'm actually asking that question and I want you to have an answer, okay? Codependency actually can feel very shameful because after you're done with all your antics and things like that, yeah, you're going to feel a little regretful, clownish. Like, wow, I can't believe I let myself get there. And how does this happen? Well, like I said earlier, when you are super reactive, okay, and that's what a lot of this makes you, desperate times, you know, you got to do whatever it takes. It makes you super reactive and then you become ashamed. And after a while, you start to notice a pattern, right? Where we all know people that they're super reactive and they have become so accustomed to being so ridiculous and reactive that they also have learned to act like nothing has ever happened. Come on. Like, we've all experienced somebody that has been like that, where it's like they say anything in anger, they'll do anything, and then after they just want to act like nothing ever happened. Why? Because they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed. Don't let that be you. Do not let that be you, right? This is also going to look like, oh my gosh, this guy is ignoring you, let's say, and you're calling him 700 times when you really do know what the deal is. If you find yourself having to resort to certain types of antics, that should tell you everything you need to know. But here's the thing. If you are a codependent person, this is normal behavior for you. This is no different than waking up in the morning and having a cup of coffee. This is no different than having your morning tea. This is just your life because you don't know. As opposed to someone else that may not struggle with codependency issues, it's easier for them to recognize, okay, this person is bringing out a side of me that I do not enjoy. I'm not understanding why I'm allowing this person to push me to this point. I'm going to leave. But to someone that is codependent, it's just a regular day in the park for them. This is normal to them. They function in these types of dynamics, right? Third, codependency is an unhealthy focus on other people's problems, feelings, and needs. And you know what else this comes, this is a cousin to or akin to? Entitlement. Okay? Well, I did this for you and I was doing this. You're a martyr. To some degree, you're a martyr. I did this for you and constantly ignoring your own boundaries and feelings. And I even believe I did a video on this a while back, maybe honestly in 2019, where it's like you feel like, well, because I did this for you, even though let's say someone asked you to do a regular favor. Let's say someone said, hey, or let's say your boyfriend was like, hey, can you go to the cleaners for me? I'm not able to do it. And let's say you actually really couldn't do it. You had something else to do, but you're just like, oh, crap. Like, you feel this, like, pressure to do it instead of just telling the truth and saying that you can't do it. So you do it anyway because you don't have those boundaries and you're just not speaking up for yourself. Then another time, a couple weeks go by, you ask your boyfriend to do a favor. He tells you, sweetie, I really can't because I got it. You know, I have a meeting at this time and you go off. Well, when I had something to do, I sacrificed for you and I did it for you. And naturally to people that are to the boyfriend, he's going to be like, but I asked you, you could have literally told me that you couldn't. But instead you're blaming him saying, well, I made the sacrifice. So you are naturally expecting that same sacrifice or lack of boundaries in this case with the next person. And it doesn't go like that. Then here you go on Instagram. This is why I'm gonna stop doing for people. You can always see sometimes where people's, you know, head is at by the things that they post sometimes. You understand? This is why I don't trust people. People will use you to the very last that you have after you helped a lot of people. Victim, sorry. Someone once told me, do good and forget about it. Because at the end of the day, you taking, tallying up all of the good things that were done to you, the good that you have done, and just waiting for your day to come where you can retrieve that, you know, favor back is a little ridiculous to me, okay? It very much is. Do good. Be kind, genuinely, and not not from a place where you're expecting something in return. Number four, codependent people are very sensitive to criticism. Oh ho ho! Can we talk about it? All right, these things are very important. We're talking about the 10 things that you should know about codependency. Are you still tuned in? Listen closer. Codependent people are very sensitive to criticism. Why? They are always sacrificing and being a martyr in situations that they are choosing. And if you tell them, hey, you could have said no. Hey, I didn't ask this of you, whatever the case is. It's like, but I thought, and you said, and they hold people to unrealistic expectations because they're always making a choice on their own to sacrifice and do all these different things, whatever it is that they choose to do. And they are genuinely expecting them out of people. No, 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 sweetie. That's not how life goes. And if you try to tell them about themselves, it's like they can't handle it. They can't hear it. But they manage to be able to. People, I find that sensitive people are very interesting. They're always sensitive, right, about what they hear or what they do, but they're not sensitive towards, sorry, they're sensitive about what they hear, okay, back to them if people try to tell them about themselves, but they're not sensitive about what it is that they do or say. That does not make any sense to me. How are we sensitive about hearing our actions back to us? If you don't want to hear what you did out loud, then don't do it. How about that? If you can't hear me say, hey, girl, remember when you literally said this to me and you're brushing it off? If you can't hear that, then you shouldn't have did it, because that's what makes for real relationships, vulnerability. If you and your partner can't converse about times that you're upset, because it's not always going to be sunshines and rainbows, then you have a serious problem on your hands. So just to sum this up, I'm going to, you know, speed through the rest of these, but codependent people, they are very closed off. So they never discuss their feelings, which makes sense, right? Because they don't have strong boundaries, and they lack boundaries, period. So they're never going to discuss their needs and the things that they actually want, right? Which then makes them very explosive and reactive, and also very passive aggressive. Okay. Even if something, you know, hurts them and it comes at sacrificing their mental health or whatever the case is, they're still going to do it. That's not a positive trait to have. You have to respect yourself, okay? And I want to leave you guys with this, right? Just so you guys know, codependency is not a mental health diagnosis, or at least according to Live Well with Sharon Martin. And also, more importantly, which I absolutely do agree with this, you can change your codependent patterns. And how can you do this? Well, through therapy. You guys know that I have been very, very big on therapy and having a therapist. It is truly life-changing. And I personally use BetterHelp, and I post the link pretty much all the time. I do believe that it's in my description box on YouTube. And it's also in my description box wherever it is that you're listening to this, whether that's Apple, whether that's Spotify, whether it's Amazon, anywhere, I always have the link. So you can always click the link that I provide. This is the actual therapy place. Please, it's not a place. This is the source that I use to have my own therapist. I really, really do think it's important to speak to someone and have that unbiased professional opinion. Your life will be very different once you find the right therapist for you. I know a lot of people have complaints of, oh, therapist, I haven't really connected with the person I want. That doesn't mean give up. That doesn't mean, oh, therapy isn't for you. No, sweetie, therapy is for everybody. Even when you don't have an issue, it's nice to just talk to somebody. It's their job to listen to you. Don't you want that? I mean, I think it's a great thing where it's like this person's job is to literally listen to you and not judge you at all. What could be greater than that? It also helps you to make more rational decisions, because maybe instead of calling your friend and maybe, you know, venting to them or whatever the case is, you know, you hit up your therapist instead, and it evenly distributes out the weight of, you know, maybe relying on your friends for that therapy session or whatever the case is. And it really does allow you to make more sound decisions, because sometimes our friends, they're not professional. They're not always going to give the best advice as it pertains to thing or their professional advice, but a therapist can. So I definitely think it's something that you guys should explore. With that being said, angels, I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Like I said, the link for BetterHelp is on my channel, as well as wherever it is that you're listening to this. And I will speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda
salutes those who've served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.